Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultralife. My name is Mike, and this week we are joined by a really badass runner out of the Tennessee area that I was introduced to by somebody we all know, Michelle Gray. And I got to meet her at Mountain Masochist, and she is a badass, and I'm so excited that she's joining us. So let's welcome in Leanne Jennings. Leanne, you ready to go for a little run?
Absolutely. Thanks, Michael.
That is awesome. So let's start with who are you? Where do you come from? Family, all that kind of stuff. What do you do when you're not out running badass races?
I'm Leanne, and I grew up in Northern Virginia, but I live in Northeast Tennessee now. I've been here pretty much since 91, and I'm a nurse. That's why one of the reasons I'm not familiar with Zoom, because during COVID, when everyone else got to be Zooming, I was still
You
at the
were
bedside.
at work. That's right.
Yes.
That's funny.
But yeah, I have two daughters, two grown daughters, and have been married since, since just about when I came down here in 91. So I got married in 95. My husband,
Awesome.
Mark, he's my crew. He's my support.
There you go. That is awesome. And how long have you been nursing?
Well, I worked in labor and delivery for 20 years. I actually think that was really excellent training for ultras
No
and
kidding.
triathlon. But then the past 10 years, I've worked in mammography.
That is awesome. So have you always been a runner, Leanne?
I was thinking about that earlier today. And I remember running a lot as a child. We were the kids that played in the yard a lot. And I remember my dad ringing the bell and we'd be running home, not to get in trouble. And I tried to run in high school. I tried to run cross country, but I thought, oh, that's a long distance. I tried to run track, but I was super nervous at the start line. So I just couldn't. I went to a couple meets and that was about it. Plus my mom complained a lot about spending $30 on the new Nike Air
Right,
Pegasuses.
right.
It was a big family purchase back then.
No kidding.
When I came down to college here, I wasn't really, I always liked to hike, but never really ran very much. And then started, actually, my husband and I met like at a VA, not a VA, a ETSU run around campus, a 5K. And that's one of the first
No way.
places we met. Yeah. So,
That's awesome.
yeah. And then, just on and off 5Ks until after my daughter was born in 06. And that's when I was like, oh, I got to do something to get back in shape. And
Okay.
that's when I started running more regularly.
Okay. So did you do kind of the progression 5K, half marathon, marathon, or?
Pretty much, I remember thinking it did not come to me naturally. So actually, I always enjoyed it, but I wasn't a fast runner. And I remember just thinking, oh, I wish I could just keep a 10-minute pace for a 5K. And then my goal was just to beat 30 minutes and, just kept working my way down that way. And then I had started to do some little triathlons and my friends were like, yeah, you should try a marathon. So I tried to do a marathon and first one was Country Music Marathon in Nashville. And
Fun.
that was a hoot. The girl that I ran with, Jonelle, I remember her like at mile 15, she's like, you got to keep going. You got to keep going. I'm like, you just go on without me. I can't make it. I did
That's
end up
awesome.
finishing it, but it was rough. But
That's
it was fun.
awesome.
I was hooked. I had fun. Yeah.
Good. So, how many marathons have you run?
Okay. Now here's something that I'm very ashamed of, but I am
Okay.
not one of these people that I keep good records.
Awesome. That's cool.
I really can't tell you. I can't tell you my best times. I can't tell you exactly years I did things. I will tell you my biggest goal is to run a marathon or greater in every state.
Okay.
And Michelle's agreed to join me for my final state in Alaska this summer.
Oh my gosh. Is
Yeah.
that why you signed up for the Denali?
Yes. That's state
Oh
number
my
three for me.
gosh.
Yeah.
That I'm so jealous. That's like my last state that I need to do a run in is
Okay.
Alaska. And I saw that you had signed up for Denali and I was like, I am so jealous.
It's kind of scary for me because usually I pick something that I'm familiar with. And when I'm traveling, we usually make a family vacation. And so I'm like, well, I want to do something I know I can do like 50 miles or less without, feeling terrible for the rest of the trip.
Right.
And so this is really jumping, especially to choose this as my last one, to really jump out of the wheelhouse and do 135 as my last one's kind of stupid, but I'm looking forward to it.
Exactly. I was like, yeah, this is not quite a marathon there, you know?
No, and I did look Fargo like in the fall, but that boy, it's a big finance to go to Alaska, as you know.
Oh yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so that'll be incentive to keep me going in Denali.
No kidding. Now, what's the cutoff for that one?
Michelle and Rick always laugh at me because I don't study things, and this is seems
Okay.
way more intuitive. I don't study elevation. I don't study too much about the course.
Okay.
Embarrassingly, I look at swag, buckles,
That's awesome.
and is it a place I want to go and explore?
There you go.
So I
All right,
think.
so different question. What's the buckle like for it?
Oh, it's really neat. It's a moose antler. It's like on a moose
No
antler.
way. Are you
Yeah.
serious?
Yeah. So
Oh, that is cool.
I do think Rick said he wanted us to finish it in a day and a half. So I guess that's like 36 hours, but I think
Okay.
we might have 40.
That
But
is so funny.
don't quote me on that. Don't sign up based on that. I've gotten friends in trouble.
Okay.
I say, oh yeah, come run this flat race with me. And we get there and it's not flat. And they're like, what? And I'm like, I just assumed it's South Carolina. I thought coastal. I thought it was flat.
There you go. Yeah, it makes sense to me. I agree. There you go. I love your approach to signing up for races. That is awesome.
It's kind of a lazy approach, but you know, I don't
That
know.
it works. You finish quite a few. So I would say it's not really lazy. It's more, you must really like this running stuff.
I do. I do. You know, I partly into the way of doing my states, my brother said, why don't we go do an Ironman? And so he wanted to do Texas. So I started training and he did not. And so I did that and really loved triathlon. And then I did another one that same year. And then 2 years later, I did one where I did Kentucky and then Tennessee, Chattanooga for its inaugural one. The people were so very gear oriented and training oriented and super excited about that. And you see that in trail runs too, but I think the vast majority of us just like being outside and going places.
Yep.
And that's what when I started running trail, I was like, oh, this was where I belong, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That is awesome. Wow. So, how did you and Michelle end up running the 100K at Mount Maskus?
Well, you know, when I first started trail running, there was like a guy here, Mark Skelton, that did a bunch of local races. And so I was with State
Okay.
of Franklin Track Club and would do like the little 5Ks and stuff. And, you know, he would put on these really great races. And unfortunately, he's not doing any more, but he had great swag and the courses were beautiful. And I learned a lot of great places to run in the area. And the other person that kind of led our group in our area was Rick. And he would have us go out on, we'd all get together on, Tuesday nights and run at ETSU Woods behind. And
Okay.
we'd all stand in a circle, everybody introduced themselves, and he'd talk about what races were coming up, what everyone was doing. And he started having these crazy names for races like Hellgate and Promised Land and Mount Masochist. And I was thinking, who in their right mind would sign up for something named Mountain Masochist? But then as I got more into it, I was like, you know, I ought to give it a try one time. And Michelle, I mentioned that to Michelle, and she goes, well, you know, they've got this new distance. I think we ought to do that. And I'm like, well, okay, let's do it. And so
That's
that's
awesome.
pretty much how we got. And of course, she and Rick have both done that race multiple times. So I was just kind of tagging along.
That is awesome. So now I noticed also that you've run the Yeti 100 a couple times.
I have, you know, it's really close to home. And I actually volunteered. I volunteered at it twice. And that was so much fun. And then got entry into it that way. Boy, it's a beautiful place to run. I did
Yeah.
a lot of training for my first marathon I did on the Virginia Creeper Trail. And then
Okay.
State of Franklin used to have a race called the Gorilla Trail Race. And it was just
Okay.
very low-key, fat ass. The members would go out there and they'd run from Damascus to White Top.
Oh, wow.
So then they kind of made it a little bit more formal run. And now they do a 17 miler that goes from White Top to Damascus. Is interesting because the Yeti people who are wonderful, I love Grace, Jason Green, but they're like, who are these people running here? And they were running there a long time ago. Like I'm talking in the
Right.
80s, you know? And so that's kind of how I first learned about running on the Creeper Trail. And so the
Yeah.
Yeti's like a natural progression. The folks are fun. The people, the spirit out there is awesome. So
Yeah.
And last year I got to go with my friend Dan, and I paced him the last 50 miles of that run. So
Oh, cool. How
unfortunately,
was the trail? Is it back in shape yet, or is there still sections that are washed out?
they just started, like, I think probably within the last month, doing major repairs on the top half. So from Damascus to White Top's not traversable yet, but they just
Okay.
started the major because so many trestles were taken out.
Yeah. That was amazing. That flood blew my mind. I've never seen anything like that.
And here in our area, one of my favorite runs that I did for training for many throughout my whole running career was the Irwin Linear Trail. And then I'd hook over to Uncle Johnny's hostel. People are that familiar with the AT will know that. I'd go into Chestoa and just do an out and back there. I had like a 14-mile run. And of course, that's gone. Oh, I can tell you an interesting story if you want to hear about my
Yeah.
dumbassery.
Yeah, definitely.
So the day after, I had a big training run planned for the day after Helene, and we knew the storm was bad and there was bad stuff, but you didn't know the extent right afterwards. And I had planned to go and do run out on Pinnacle and out towards Irwin, but I knew that was really bad. And so asked Rick and Michelle for ideas, and they said, well, why don't you go up to the AT and go out towards Vandervent Shelter and back. So I got in my car and went out that way. Got towards Shady Valley. Well, there were trees down. Of course, there were power lines down. I was like, well, this isn't going to work. So I went out, I drove back a little bit and got on Holston Mountain, which is one of my very favorite places to train. It's just gorgeous there. There's not many people. It's got a great view of Watauga Lake. And I park there and I thought there are probably going to be some trees down. But I think in the first mile, I counted like 20 trees that I climbed
Oh my.
over. And I thought, I really should turn around, but I'm feeling tired. I don't want to go through all those trees. And it had kind of opened up a little bit where I was, so I kept going up. Well, the trail disappeared on me. And I know that
Oh
mountain pretty
my.
well. I mean, the trees were down so far, and I was like, I couldn't see the trail anymore. I got a little bit frightened. My GPS wasn't working. I knew I couldn't call anyone for help because I knew there were people like seriously needing help at that point, right?
Yep.
So I decided to go up to Panhandle. If I could just make it keep going straight up, I'd get to Panhandle Road, which is like a Forest Service road. So I get up there and the power lines are down one after another
Oh my.
in the trees. And I thought, I'm gonna electrocute myself. And how do I get through this? But there wasn't any place to go. Certainly didn't feel like I could find the trail to get back down. And I could kind of tell where the road was a little bit better than trail. So I went out and it opened up a little bit here and there. And then Panhandle turns back down towards the regular drivable road. Well, after that, I'd never seen anything like it. Those trees were twisted, and I felt like I was in a human twister thing. I thought I might be like that guy that had to chew his arm off to get out of the
Oh
rocks.
my
I
goodness.
was going
Wow.
in and out. I mean, it took me forever. And when I heard the Forest Service people, I could hear their chainsaws, like tears, like just filled my eyes and
Oh
started.
my gosh.
And I got down to him, and one of the guys recognized me. He's like, you okay? And I'm like, yeah. And I was like so ashamed and embarrassed that I was so dumb to be up there. But they were just like, they were cutting because there's a lot of emergency antennas and stuff up there that they have to like had to work on emergency systems. And
Right.
so they had to cut through this. And they just wanted information. And I told him how long it took me to go down this like 2 mile section. And he was they were not they did not ridicule me. They were very kind and supportive. And so they were glad I was fine. And they really just wanted information. So
That's
I
amazing.
saw Matt like 6 months later, and I asked him, I said, oh, I apologized again. And he goes, no, he goes, we really just wanted the intel. He said it took him 3 days to cut up that like mile and a half section.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was that bad.
How?
It's crazy. So I was very
That
lucky.
is crazy.
What had was supposed to be like a 4 hour total run was almost like 7 hours. And I got
Yep.
back to my car. Of course, cell service wasn't working well. And finally got to where I could call my husband. By that time, they'd all been watching the news at how bad everything had gotten wiped out in North Carolina and Unicoi. And so it was very nice to be able to hear everybody's voice again. And
Yeah,
yeah.
you didn't get grumbled at by your spouse, did you?
No, he's always very, they're always so supportive. My
Yeah,
mom,
that
my
is awesome. That is awesome. My wife just thinks I'm crazy. So,
Yeah, mine too.
I would come back down from the mountains in Wyoming sometimes and I'd say, "Sorry, I'm late. I got a little lost." And she just
Of
yeah, 'cause there
course,
was no cell service.
What part of Wyoming?
We were in Sheridan, Wyoming. So we were in the gorgeous part of Wyoming, right in the Bighorns.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So if you've
Yeah.
ever heard of the Bighorn Mountain Run,
I
so
have heard of
that was
that.
our backyard. So
Okay.
it, yeah,
Sweet.
beautiful, beautiful run. If you're ever looking to run something in Wyoming, that is.
I had a friend that kept trying to talk me to go to talk me into going and running there, and I might have to meet him there sometime and do that.
Yeah, it's just so beautiful. I always tell people, the difference between the Rocky Mountains and the Bighorn Mountains is that the Rocky Mountains are just these tall, majestic, intimidating looking mountains. And the Bighorn Mountains, you still get up to 12,000 to 14,000 foot peaks, but they're all rounded peaks and they just look like, oh, it's not that high. Just come up and play. And then you get up there and you realize there's no air up there. So, yeah.
That is hard. I mean, we went last a couple summers ago and ran at Silver Rush in Leadville, and
Yeah.
that we were very, very nervous about running there at that elevation, and we had our Acclimate that we were drinking, and it all ended up okay. None of us got sick. It was a great experience. I don't think people should get too discouraged about it. And we took that philosophy that, if it's great if you can go out and spend a couple weeks to acclimate, but none of us could do that. So
Yeah.
we took the spend as a little, arrive fresh and
Yeah.
run.
Yep.
And so,
And that's kind of the thing to do. I mean, whenever we go back to Wyoming, I always go do the highest part that I can do right off the bat because I figured, yeah, I'm gonna feel like crud anyway, so might as well go run the biggest thing in sight. So that's always cool. Well, cool. So how did you end up getting talked into doing Swami Shuffle 200?
Well, I had heard Michelle's stories, and when I first heard it, it's obviously a great cause.
Yep.
I don't have I have a nephew that serves in the military, and I had grandparents that served in the military, but other than that, my husband's a teacher, and he's lost students to suicide. So it's just a horrible thing for a family to have to go through, a community, a brotherhood. So that I think the cause is great, and then I love the Outer Banks. I grew up going to the Outer Banks as a
Oh,
kid.
cool. That's
Yeah,
awesome.
so that was a big draw for me as well. I think it's a little insane. I don't know how things are going to go. It's by far the I've done some adventure runs, journey runs, but nothing like this. So,
Okay. So what are some of the journey runs you've done?
well, we've done Scar a couple times,
Okay.
which is the Smoky Mountains Challenge Adventure Run. Is that what it's called? I don't even remember
Yep.
what it's called. It's been too long since
Yeah.
we did it, and done that a couple times. And then the other one that we did was Bloody Bitter, which,
Oh,
it's
okay, cool. Yeah.
yeah, that was a last thing
Yep.
initially. And so I went out, and we were going to do it over 4 days, and I ran the first 2 days with them, and I really wasn't feeling good. I felt like something was just not right. And so that third day I didn't run with them. And it's interesting that we're talking about that, because my husband, one of his students and cross country runners, passed away from a gunshot wound. And my husband, what they weren't going to tell me that that happened while I was out there. But when I went home, it was just a God thing, really, for me to go home that day and be with my family. And I felt like the fourth day, I felt like I need to get back out there with my friends. And my husband was supportive of that and went and finished the fourth day with them. So I
Wow.
didn't do all 200 miles with them, but I got like 160 in with them.
That's incredible. So you just had this feeling that something wasn't right and
Yeah, and I didn't. I well, in all honesty, I didn't feel good. But you can look at my history. There's not many things that I quit or just
Yeah.
stop.
Yeah.
I don't like to not finish what I started. I don't like to miss out on things. I have FOMO, and I enjoy doing these things. But I just didn't feel. I felt something. I just felt like I needed to be home, and I was glad that I was home that day.
Wow, that is so
It's
cool.
nothing that is fixable, and nothing that can be done anything different. But my family was did not want to tell me. They didn't want to interfere with what was going on, because I knew this young man as well. My husband just finished cross country coaching last year, but I go to the meets. You know, I had a daughter that ran for them, and just a lot of years of cheering for these kids. So,
Yeah, so you're sort of invested in them. So,
absolutely.
yeah,
absolutely.
yeah, there's no other way you can explain that than, you know, it had to have been a God thing.
Yeah, I think so.
That's amazing. So you're going to run Swami 200. Are you going to try and stick with Michelle then, or what?
Well, she keeps saying she is going to lay back with me and we're going to have to be
Right.
and have fun. And that's the plan. I have a lot of like little niggling injuries. And, you know, I keep getting slower and slower. I'm trying to be more consistent right now so that I can, you know, accomplish this feat. I told her she'll probably hate me and I'll probably hate her. I'm one of these people that gets low blood sugar and gets tired and gets angry. Just ask my husband. That's why he's a saint, because he puts up with that. Michelle puts up with it pretty good, but this 200 miles might be pushing it.
That's right. That's right. That's
Well,
awesome.
I'm going to try my best not to slow her down too much. I'll probably tell her 10,000 times to go on and leave me. Because she's funny. No, you're not, you know, you're not slowing me down. And I'm like, so she'll get in front of me. And then I look up and she's a half mile in front of me.
Didn't isn't that what happened at Mount Maskus?
Well, so, you know, usually a lot of races, I'll go out ahead of Michelle and I'll be ahead of her and I'll be thinking, oh, I'm killing it. You know, I'm doing good. And
Right.
anywhere between mile 2 and 20, depending on how long the race is, she goes, hey, how you doing? I'm feeling great. How are you? And she'll go buzz by me. And so at Mount Masochist, I kept waiting for her. And I'd gotten all the way to the turnaround at the 100K.
Right, because I remember you beat her to the turnaround.
Coming back. Yeah, I beat her to the turnaround. Well, before she got to the turnaround, she had gone off course. She thinks she got an extra 2 miles in.
Gosh.
But she doesn't wear a watch, so there's no way of really telling exactly much. But she got some extra mileage. We'll just leave it at that. And so then I just kept waiting the whole way back down the mountain. I kept waiting for her to pass me. And then it got dark out. And I thought, oh, you know, you start looking back at the lights, you know, like, where is she? It started to worry me. I got kind of frightened that something else had happened. And so I was really glad that, you know, she wasn't far behind me at that point. She was coming after me. She was going to get me. If the race had been another 2 miles, she'd have passed
she would
me.
Have caught you, huh? That's funny.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. I just remember you getting to the turnaround and there was no Michelle and I was shocked. And then Michelle got there and she was like, yeah, I added some miles. I sort of did this at this turn and I knew exactly where she had done it. And I was like, yeah, it's marked, but not fantastic. So yeah. So
Not
that's
with
funny.
Michelle, though. That sort of thing has happened to me before at Yeti one time. You know, I'm doing the Yeti. I think it was the first time I did Yeti, and one of my favorite running buddies and favorite race directors, Netta, like, I was ahead of her, and I kept passing people, and they're like, well, where's Netta? Why are you in front of Netta? You know, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Maybe I just had one good day, you know?
That's
So,
awesome.
you know, every once in a while, Leanne can have a good day. You just never know.
That's right. That's right. It's okay to have a good day.
That's right.
There you go. That is awesome. So Swami Shuffle 200. You've never taken on like the, well, I guess Bitter is isn't that 200 miles?
Which one? Beamer?
But yeah,
The Bloody Bitter?
Bloody Bitter, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't get that third day in. I went back out for the fourth. It's a badass thing. You know, there wasn't any, you know, thing to declare, hey, I wasn't there the third day, but yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I came up with Rick and I actually came up with our own little version of Vol State, and it's called the Northeast Passage.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, you know, Laz, it takes him over 300 miles to make it across the state of Tennessee. I can do it like in 50 miles. And so I told Rick that. I said, well, why don't we do that? And he got, you know, I just say things and then he gets on it. And he came up with a route that takes us from Bristol, Virginia, all the way through Tennessee and Johnson City. And then we go up Roden Mountain and finished up at Sam's Gap. So we get like 53 miles. And
are you serious?
Three states. Yeah. It would
oh,
be
that's awesome.
A great little run. You are, you know, kind of, we've done it a couple times now, but it's a good experience just to be on, know what the people that do the big things experience with the traffic and figuring that where you're going to get your food and your drinks out and stuff like
Yeah.
that.
That's awesome. I love that. I do that every once in a while, just create something, go, what about this? And then go do it. And it's like, okay, that was stupid, but it was fun. So,
Right, exactly.
there you go. So is, have you thought much about what your strategy is going to be for Swami?
I'm another one of these people that just doesn't plan a whole lot. I know that sounds counterintuitive and that that's probably not the right thing to do, but I just never know how I'm going to feel.
Yep.
And whatever the day, I'm certainly not racing it.
Oh, yeah.
I'd just whatever I can tolerate each day. Whatever I can tell, I plan on sleeping if I can. Now, when I've tried to sleep before things, 100 milers, if I try to take a rest, my legs just keep moving. They
Yep.
won't settle down, and I'm in pain, so I can't sleep. So that's what I'm most concerned about is trying to figure out how I'm going to sleep
That is a tough
exhausted.
one. Yeah.
Because it's
Yeah,
not
I've
like
done it both ways. I've tried to take, like 4 to 6 to 8 hour rest. Like my first Swami, I took, I think, an 8 hour rest at one point, and man, that was way too much. And then my second Swami, I kept everything to like 2 to 4 hours, but I still felt like I rested too much. And so this one, I'm gonna just kind of go for as long as I can, and probably just make a stop at the KOA in Rodanthe, and then have that as a return spot where maybe I take like a 2 to 4 hour nap or something like that. So it's really, it really does come down to how you feel. I mean, the second year I ran it, I felt so awful getting off the sand that making it 48 miles to the first Hilton Garden Inn was, it seemed monumental at the time. So it really does. The sand is the key. So that first 22 miles on the sand, if you go out too hard and try to just spin it off, that will you're going to have a miserable time. But if you just kind of say, we're just gonna take this as we go. Michelle did a fantastic job last year. She took it very conservative on the sand, and then she blasted by everybody after that. So,
I'm telling you,
that's.
that's the thing. She starts out slow at races and then she can go. When the rest of
Yeah.
us are starting to slow, she can go.
Yeah,
So,
she's amazing.
yeah,
She
she is.
blows my mind.
But I appreciate that advice, though. Especially about not sleeping too long or trying to rest for too long.
Yeah, I just found that if you take too long of a rest break, that you just it takes longer to get your body up and used to moving again. So if you take the shorter rest breaks, like I've been practicing a lot at I've done a couple 48 hours. And if I take much, much shorter rest breaks, like 30 minutes, I actually feel more rested, and then I can go longer the next time. So it's just I think your body adapts better to the short rest than like the long, long rest breaks.
I just did a little race. Well, it's actually more like a just a fun run where you did. I think you went like 1.5 miles every 25 minutes. And
Okay.
boy, that 25 minutes, and you did it was the longest night, so you did it all through the night. That 25 minutes, you did not have a lot. And I usually only had about anywhere between 6 and 8 minutes. That time went, just would disappear.
Yeah,
I want
yeah.
longer breaks than that, but maybe not 4 hours. How far is Rodanthe mileage-wise to Cape Hatteras?
It's a so you're right at about 84 miles, so you're just about 27 miles to the turnaround.
Okay, so you're planning on taking a break there, and then on your way
Yeah.
back there.
Yeah, then I'll take it back, so it'd be 54 miles back, and then the goal from there is to see if I can get. Like if I can, so the Hampton Inn Corolla is 34, 35 miles from the finish line. And the key part is a 30 miles till you hit the back bay sign. And so the back bay sign is important because we can't be in the reserve from 30 minutes after sunset to 30 minutes before sunrise. And so there's
You have
you
to stop
gotta
it first.
Yeah, so you've got to time your 50K time. You've got to look at that and say, okay, what do I think at 180 miles I can do a 50K in?
On sand.
On sand. Yeah, all on sand without knowing whether it's high tide or low tide. If it's low tide, you're okay because you're going to be on firm sand. If it's high tide, you're going to be in soft sand, which is going to take longer. So that all plays a part. And so my thing is, if I hit the Hampton Inn coming back at 11 a.m. or later, I got to stop because I'm not going to make it through the Back Bay Refuge by 6:30 at night. There's no way I'm gonna do a 7.5 hour 50K plus at that point. So that's kind of my drop dead point is I have to hit the Hampton Inn before 11 a.m. in order to be sure that I can make it through the refuge
Oh
before the
my.
sunset.
I love it. I'm gonna use that on Michelle.
It is so, I was telling somebody the other day, I was like, I love this because you're forced to do some thinking and you're doing ultra math, which is absolutely, if there's like two or three of you together and you're doing ultra math together, it produces some of the wildest conversations you'll ever have in your lifetime. I've done the last part with two different gentlemen. And some of our conversations trying to do ultra math, trying to figure out, well, what time will we do this? And if we resupply, because Harris Teeter is the last place that we can resupply, and they close at 8 p.m. So if we can get to the Harris Teeter and resupply by 8 p.m., what time could we make it? Could we make it to the refuge by, sunrise? And it's hilarious the conversations you come with at 180 miles into a race, and I would love to record it sometime because I'm sure they would be priceless.
Hey, I'm going to consider it a win if Michelle and I are still talking 180 miles into Atlanta. That's my
Oh
win.
my gosh.
I
But you know what? Michelle is such a sweetheart that I mean,
know, but
she'll be fine.
Leanne might not be. That might be
That's true. Yeah,
the
well, we just got to remember to keep you fed. How's that?
problem. Like fed and rested. That's the other
There
thing.
you
And I
go.
hope
Fed and
the health
rested, life is
condition.
good, right?
But the good thing is they get over it pretty quickly.
Yeah, there you go. That's awesome.
I'm not gonna get anyone else to sign up to crew me or pace me for any races after this. They'll be like, oh my gosh, she's a witch.
So is Rick gonna be is your
He is.
husband Matt gonna come down and join Rick or what?
So no, Rick is going to crew us the whole way. My husband is Mark is taking off. He's a school teacher and he's taking off on Wednesday, I think, to try to be there when we finish.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty much the goal.
All right. Awesome. That is perfect. I'm so much looking forward to the Swami and some of the new people that are going to be out there with, some of the veterans and everything. I think it's such a great mix.
Fresh meat.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well,
Yeah. It's going to be so much fun.
it is fun to come back and see the same people, but it's also fun to come back and see different people every time too. New
Yeah,
people.
because
So.
you get to hear their stories and you get to spend a little bit of time, because that's one of the great things about the format of Swami. So even like the top runners, they're going to be
Well.
out there, just crushing it, and
Yes.
Michelle also, because yeah, she always, like last year I laughed because last year I got sick the Thursday before and didn't end up running it. And Michelle's like, well, I'm just taking it easy. And so I went down and was like the guy bringing pizza and donuts to everybody during the day. And Michelle was so funny. She's like, I'm just taking it easy. I'm like, yeah, you're like in first or second place right now.
Yes,
Well, but I'm
yeah.
just taking it easy. I'm just like, yeah,
So
whatever. Go away.
you'll all know when she finishes at the back of the pack that it's Leanne, but that's okay. It's
Yep,
gonna
but
be
here's the
good.
fun part, Leanne, is even though these, really, really good athletes take off and they go, you're going to see them as they're coming back. And kind
Right.
of the cool thing about, Swami, you're on, opposite sides of the road when you're heading out to the lighthouse and they're coming back from the lighthouse, and you end up just kind of, chatting on the side of the road, even just, like last year, Thomas DiStefano, did it in 52 hours, but, he ended up, talking to everybody who was, still going out on the way back. And it's just this amazing, this is what I love about ultra marathons, but about, the whole Swami family, especially is, it's like a family time, a bunch of people getting together and just, chatting as they move.
Love it. I love it. I'm looking forward to it.
Going to be
Yeah.
awesome. It's going to be awesome. So, what is the thing that motivates you to keep on going after these hard things, Leanne?
I just love being outside. I think I have a lot of anxiety, and just getting outside is my medicine. Moving my body, making it like it's meant to be. I remember the first few times I got in the groove trail running, I thought about Hawkeye and Last of the Mohicans, and I felt like that. It just even if I wasn't running like he was, I just
Yep.
felt that. It felt like, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
That's awesome.
And whether it is or not, and it's a chance for me to ignore like all the dust bunnies under the beds and all the bills that need to be paid and everything else in life that needs to be done. And whether I love running with people, but I just as equally love being by myself and
Yeah.
being out there. Some of the biggest events that I've done, I've gone by myself. The ones that I'm the most proud of was just because I knew I went out there and did it without. I love having the support. I get lazy. I like having the support, but it's also
Yep.
fun to get out there and prove to yourself, yes, I can do this.
Exactly. Yeah, and they're just some of the most amazingly beautiful times. Well, you know what? Let's start wrapping this up. I told you we'd keep this short and everything. So this is the way we like to end it with everybody when we come on the podcast. So the name of the podcast obviously is Living an Ultra Life. And so when I say that, what's the first thing that pops in your head?
Community. Dedication, time outside with friends, and just saying you're going to do something, sticking to it, determination.
Yeah, that's awesome. I cannot wait to see it, Swami Leanne. It is going to be such an absolute blast.
Well,
And we'll make sure we get to spend some miles together.
all right. Well, I appreciate your time and looking forward to sharing some miles.
You got it, Leanne.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.